Hello, Get More listeners. Today we are super lucky. We have Gregory Austin with us. So, Gregory, the usual question, who are you?
All right. Well, Gregory Austin, I live in Kansas City, and I have been involved in the pharmaceutical, biotech, and medical device industries in various capacities for about 10 years. It's one of the things that I do. And what I do currently is I help make medical therapies that you take, your family takes, my family takes on their health journeys to be safer and more efficacious by offering the best in quality compliance and regulatory consulting. And I have a couple of stories on how I got there that we can dig into in a minute.
Right.
And but throughout my career journey, I've done sales, I've done marketing, I've dipped into business intelligence for a little bit. And then I spent about 11 years of my career journey in agency and corporate recruiting. And I even, based on some of that information, I got tired of reading some really bad resumes that inspired me to help some folks. I wrote and self-published a book called Stellar Resume Writing, Secrets from a Corporate Recruiter.
Oh, nice.
How to Land Interviews. Yep. And I unpack what recruiters and hiring managers are looking for to help people get to that interview stage. I'm a founder and host of a fun scientific podcast called BioTalk Unzipped, along with my co-host, Dr. Chad Briscoe, where we unzip the stories behind medical progress.
Okay.
I'm a quasi-musician. I'm a lead singer, guitar, and saxophone. Formerly, we just had our farewell gig recently in a band called Amendment 21, but it was really fun.
I have to ask you what sax you play, because I'm also a sax player.
Oh, really? Well, I started out primarily with tenor, and then most recently, last few years, been playing alto.
Okay, funny. I did the other way around. So.
Okay, nice.
Okay, sorry for that.
Great instruments. No, not at all. Not at all. I love interjecting and getting some clarification. Not a problem. I'm also a speaker, a cultural architect, a strategic encourager. I'm passionate about medical technology, teaching, and helping people.
Okay. So as our audience, our listeners are very often themselves entrepreneurs, married business owners, and so on. You have a lot on your plate. How do you manage all that? Because there are 24 hours in one day for everyone else.
That's a really good question, and I get some feedback from my wife and kids now and then about the amount of things I've got going on. I've learned to say no and to manage my time pretty carefully, because I'm the producer and editor of my podcast, BioTalk Unzipped, so that takes some time, and coming up with some creative solutions on how to spend less time doing that part of the process. The writing is something that, you know, I published that book several years ago. I'm actually working on a secondary follow-up book called, Overcome Rejection and Land the Job. I was hoping to have it published a couple of years ago, but it's still in progress because it's other things like the podcast and the band kind of took time. The band is done. It was a great ride. We had a lot of fun. Hadn't gigged much recently, but we had, my guitar player, he retired recently and left town. So we had kind of a retirement party farewell gig for him. That was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I have to ask one question, because, you know, I'm living in Europe, so I'm German, I'm living in France. So we always like to ask controversial questions. At one stage, you said pharmaceutics and ethics, and you put them in the same sentence. And the image those two things have here in Europe, they don't match together. So I understand that you're passionate about that, and that do things that I'm sure you do the things the right way. So how would you explain that to people, that in fact there are ethics in pharmaceutics?
There have to be, or people get hurt, people get sick, or people die. And there have been some tragic moments in American medical healthcare history where, for example, the New England compounding company, a number of years ago, they were putting drugs together, not in a clean room, not following good GLP, GCP, GMP regulations. And they ended up making adulterated drugs that were given to people, and it caused spinal meningitis, and it killed a number of people. And so the FDA quickly responded and came up with a lot of rules and regulations on how compounding pharmacies will be handled in the future and since then. And so I'm on the quality regulatory side. My company, ECI, offers that type of consulting. And so the passion I have for it is to keep those things safe, because there are a lot of really great companies that are doing it right that don't need our help at all because they've got it together and they have the right people in place. Some are starting up and they just need some extra help, and some have gotten in trouble and they need remediation. But there are some bad actors out there as well who decide they want to sell a certain medical device into, oh, we do this in the commercial industry, let's go to the medical device industry. And they don't know anything about quality management systems, current good manufacturing practices, and they get in trouble. And so that's where those rules come in to help.
Okay. So would you say that those rules arrive each time something happened, or is there some way to get ahead of things happening and putting the right rules in place before those things happen?
Right. Well, the regulations are very, very clear, written by the FDA. And there's also the European version, the EMA, and I'm sure France has their own kind of national healthcare, you know, system as well of how to keep things safe. Right. And so it's basically having the knowledge and adherence through good standard operating procedures, good quality systems to make sure everyone's doing it the right way, and training as well.
So is
that what you meant when you said like ethics? Because I'm thinking like safety, but there's a lot of differences in our healthcare systems.
I think we can dig way deeper about, you know, as you said, some, you give the example of some companies who just go into some other area of the business because there is money to make, and not because there is a strong why they want to do things.
Right.
Which brings me, by the way, nice transition to asking you, why are you doing all what you're doing? Why are you doing that? What's
Yeah. So I do have a story that, you know, we all have stories that kind of led us into where we are today and what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we all know somebody who is a chronic illness, been diagnosed with a chronic illness, has died from a difficult illness. And so it's pretty ubiquitous. I think everyone's got a similar type of story that they could share. But a number of years ago, my dad came down with, he just started having mental status changes. And it was very strange. Like, he forgot where his keys were. He forgot how to use the remote. He forgot how to do basic things. And he went and had the proper scans, found out that he had a pretty massive tumor in his brain.
Wow.
And it was causing a lot of pressure. So they went in, surgically resected it. It was kind of right here. It was easy to get to, kind of on the front right side of his brain. And they were able to get that out. And he was recovering. What they found out is 17 years prior to that, he had melanoma on his skin that was removed. And he hadn't had any flare-ups or any problems since then. But it had metastasized in his brain.
Wow.
And so he was doing better. I'd moved down to South Carolina where they were to kind of help the family. And while I was there, I ended up looking for a job and found this little recruiting agency called MRI Seneca, Management Recruiters International. And Tom Scholl's a really great guy who ran that company and trained me, hired me on and said, hey, pick a major. You know, you can basically recruit in any industry you want. It could have been IT, it could have been accounting, whatever. I chose biotech and pharma on the scientific side because selfishly, I wanted to know what's out there. I wanted to know from the horse's mouth what type of products, what type of clinical trials I could get my dad into, because I knew we weren't done with this. And so that's what got me into it. And unfortunately, I did find out that there weren't any clinical trials. Melanoma of the brain is very pernicious. It causes a lot of brain bleeds. And unfortunately, he did succumb to that many years ago.
Sorry.
But I stayed with it. And got into recruiting, recruited a lot of great scientists and scientific leaders in the Northeast and in North Carolina, a little bit in California. And then during the recession, I ended up meeting with a guy, Adam Brockman, who pulled me into the Boston Society, which is a nonprofit that creates scientific symposia or scientific meetings, conferences to talk about things like bioanalysis and drug discovery and development. Toxicology, medicinal chemistry, HT-ADME. And we also had a meeting that went in India. So I went to India 3 years to replicate our big meeting in bioanalysis there, which was pretty wild. But through that process, what really captured my attention working with a lot of these scientific leaders is how much they care. they care much less about, in fact, I don't even think they think about the competitive nature of the businesses, whether it's Pfizer versus Merck versus Sanofi versus what have you. They care about making medicines that their kids can take, their parents can take, that are safe and efficacious, that actually work. And so there's a lot of passion and there's a lot of sharing of tactics and strategies and knowledge in that process. And I saw that very recently on my podcast, BioTalk Unzipped. We had Dr. Russell Grant, who's a VP of research and development at LabCorp. And he really got my attention with some great thoughts and quotes on how much he still cares for the parent patients, even though he doesn't see patients. They create diagnostic tools of many different kinds to try and determine, help doctors diagnose what you have. And he doesn't lose sight that every sample that comes into their labs, these hundreds and thousands of samples, every sample is a person. And every tube, like a blood, that they take that every tube is a question asking, am I okay? And that really got my attention. Like, am I okay? Because that's what we're worried about, right? When you get the lab test, you're like, you know, something's not right. Am I okay? And that fact that he's so separated from people, but still keeps that in mind really kind of warms my heart. There's a lot of people out there who do care and are trying to make a difference.
Yeah, it's reassuring. Yeah. It's nice because if they are doing that, I think at least at the scientific level, they have a heart and they do it because there is a good reason. They have a good why to do that.
Yeah.
So we just talked a bit about your wife and son, because Get More is also about married business owners. You're a business owner. Yep. You are a very busy man. And as you said, you have your wife and kids to remember you that. But how does it work? Is your wife also an entrepreneur, or does she have a normal job, or does she take care of the kids? And how do you manage to run efficiently everything you do while keeping your partner happy and fulfilled?
Now, that's a great question. And it's so important because family is really the number one thing.
Yeah.
And, if you're not doing well with your family, it's just not worth it, whatever it is that you may be doing. You know, there's times where you get busy and you understand that, hey, I've got this week or these couple of weeks, you got to really put in extra time and it's less time for the family. But then you have to refocus and take those moments, even if they're short moments every day with your family. My wife, she was a phlebotomist for a while. She recently got out to just kind of reevaluate what she wants to do in her career. She's looking at medical coding and wants to work from home. And there's some programs where she can do that. So it's really such a gift and a blessing to have her around and to be around the kids more, because we are doing the dual income, dual job thing. And I work from home, and that it does get hard when the kids come home and I'm trying to stay focused on my job and they're coming
tell
in
me about things. That.
Yeah. Yeah. So
how old are your kids?
So I've got four kids, two adult kids that are 27 and 25. Okay. Then I've got a 14-year-old and a 9-year-old, all boys.
Okay. So the 14 and the 9 are still at home.
They're still at home and they're, yeah. And so they're, we're in the thick of it, with them in terms of all the activities and swimming and fencing and all the things going on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's quite a challenge. So. And do you try, because if people can learn something, how do you manage your time by putting in your calendar specific time for the family, for kids activities, for couple activities, or do you just take it as it goes?
It's a good question. I think we take it as it comes, just making sure I'm having that. Cause there's some days I know I'm going to be busy. Like on Tuesday nights, I go, I'm on the church choir. And so we spend an hour and a half, couple hours working on music. Okay. And so that's less time I'm going to have, but the rest of the week, it just depends. Do I have a lot of editing to do on my podcast? Do I have some other work that needs to be done with my job that's pushing? And then when can I just peel back? And I'll make sure there's at least a couple of nights where I'm focusing on one or more of the kids. Always trying to be supportive of my wife, even though she's doing the lion's share of kind of the help around the house sort of work, but I don't want her to feel alone in that. And like last night, the weather was great, so played basketball and football with my 9-year-old and just got outside and enjoyed the night. you know, and just making sure there's making time to do that.
Yeah. There was an interesting study. That's why I'm asking those questions, because there was an interesting study they made. I can't remember how many years back, but they interviewed people who were close to death and asking them, what did you miss in life, or what would you not do again? And they all said, not one guy said, I wanted to make more money. It was all, I should have spent more time with my family. Yeah. And as entrepreneurs and business owners, well, I think it's tough. You learn the hard, you learn the hard way. I don't know for you, but when I started, when my wife and I founded our first company, she was way better than me, because she knew when to stop, and I didn't know when to stop. And it ended up with many complaints, and that made me think a little bit.
You know, and I think that's the same thing for me. I think the reason I have such good balance is my wife is a great barometer. Yeah. And she helps me realize and see, okay, it's time to peel back. It's time to spend some time with the kids, or it's time for us to talk, and those types of things. So I've learned through those experiences, the balance. And sometimes she's like, you got to work, get it done. Just depends on the situation. And so there's, luckily we have great respect for each other in that space, and great support system either way. And so that's what really makes it work. I mean, I think if there's a lot of tension, then it makes it a lot harder. Yeah. And then you start looking for ways to self-medicate or deal with the situation and deal with the stress. Because stress is the worst thing. Stress is, it's worse than a lot of diseases. It causes disease.
Yeah.
You know, I took a neuro psychology class back in college at KU. And the one thing I really remember from that class is that stress will cause the mitochondria, the power centers of your cells, to work at least 10 times harder when you're under a stressful situation. Now, when the stress is real and you're trying not to get into an accident on the freeway, or if you're actually being chased by a bear, then those hormones and those stress conditions are good. But when you're just sitting and you're feeling the stress, and it's like a manufactured stress based on the fear of something bad happening, it's very bad, right, for your body, because it's chronic stress.
Yeah.
And so that made a lot of sense to me, that I could be sitting for 8 hours, not physically doing anything, right? But still feel incredibly exhausted if I was under a stressful condition.
Yeah. And it was something, thanks to those smart watches that now tell us everything about our life. Yeah. I have sometimes a warning saying, you're under stress, you should calm down. And I said, I'm not stressed. Where are you saying that?
Right.
So it makes me wonder if sometimes we completely miss the fact that we are stressed, or I think, because I couldn't understand if it tells me something like that when I'm active, when I'm doing things, but sometimes it's just that I'm working and not on stuff that I feel stressful, but then it comes, ooh, you are stressed, do something.
That's really interesting. Well, maybe it starts a lot faster than we will notice it, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, or the watch is just crazy. That's also an option.
It could be. I don't know much about the science behind that, but at least it makes you stop and think. You know, make sure you're not overdoing it.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you, where can people find you if they want to learn more about you, read your book, or listen more about you, or share things about you? How can they find you?
The best place is on LinkedIn. You can find me there. You can find links to my book, Stellar Resume Writing, Secrets from a Corporate Recruiter, which you can also find on Amazon in paperback and Kindle forms. You can also find me on YouTube under BioTalk Unzipped to hear about all the great science and medical technologies that we're talking about. And LinkedIn's probably the best place. You can reach all those places from there.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, more and more people get on LinkedIn to share information, I've noticed. At least I had some people at the beginning of the podcast who, just read like that. And nowadays, more and more tell me, you can find me on LinkedIn. Go on LinkedIn. That's the easiest place to go. And I agree. Anyway, so I would not say the contrary.
It really is. It's a great professional platform, and it's a place where you can have those conversations. And it's generally a really good... The people who follow me and that I interact with are really great people, and they're very encouraging.
Yeah, that helps too. So apropos encouraging, Do you have some takeaways, some deep thoughts or insights that you want our listeners to live with today after the podcast?
Sure. I think, you know, when we talked about stress, we talked about managing time and so forth. I think a lot of it has to do with mindset, which is a big topic of my next book, because I can give you all the best strategies in the world to be very successful in your job search. But if your mindset is very bad, it doesn't matter. You won't listen. You won't adopt those things. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, I think it starts with self-awareness. And I came up with an adaptation of an idea and turned it into kind of a silly but memorable acronym called SPAM, S-B-A-M. And okay, when you're feeling down, negative, anger, stressed, any of all those things, the first thing you do is the S is stop. Stop your thinking process. Stop what you're doing. Take several deep breaths. Change your physiology. And then B is become aware. Ask yourself dispassionately, what is really happening? What are the facts, not the opinions? Is it really that bad? And then A, accept the situation for whatever it is, things you can control, most of which you can't control. And it's all about how you respond. And then lastly, M, move on. Move on to the next thing, whatever needs attention. What's next? What's next? The past is over. Do what you can deal with and take action.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. So let me thank you on the name of the listeners and for myself for having been on the podcast and for sharing all this super, quite amazing information. And yeah, well, looking forward to get you next time on the podcast again, Gregory.
Very good. Well, Thomas, it was a real pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.